time to time, we try and have a Sunday when we just think about what lies right at the very heart of Christian faith, and that's what we're doing this Sunday. Week by week, we normally work through the books of the Bible and teach through those, but this Sunday, we're looking at this particular passage as we try and think about what it is that defines Christianity. What it is that Christians think differently to those who wouldn't say they've got a faith in Jesus Christ. And we're thinking about it in terms of, well, tragedy to triumph, or particularly a title of a book we're going to give you a copy of at the very end, which is Human Tragedy, Divine Comedy. And you may ask, I never thought we did comedy in church. Well, you'll see that what we're thinking about today is not comedy in terms of it makes you funny comedy, but comedy in terms of something that's got a hopeful ending as we go through. So I want to ask this question as we begin this morning. And it's this question, what is life? Is it a tragedy or is it a comedy? Somebody's written this. What is life? What kind of tale? Comedy or tragic fail? Not is life funny, it's mostly not. But is life hopeful? What's the plot? A classic tragedy is a frown. Travel up and tumble down. But comedy's a smile. Plumb the depths, but end in style. Now that in a way sums up brilliantly, I think, the difference between a tragedy and a comedy. A tragedy, if you look at Shakespeare, often starts and then something really good happens and then it all ends in disaster. And a comedy is one where it starts all right and then everything seems to go horribly wrong and then it all ends in four weddings. In other words, it has a hopeful and brilliant ending. So when we're talking about comedy, we're not talking about is life funny, because we know sometimes it's not. But does life have a hopeful ending or a hopeless ending? That's the question. And that's what Christian faith is trying to ask. How can we have a hopeful ending to a life that often seems hopeless? And how do we regard life? How do you look at your own life? How does the world around us look at life? Because what we're going to find in our Bible passage this morning is that Paul, in a way, gives the story of Jesus, which is the classic smile. It is the God who started and who came down, but wonderfully rose to a great finish. It's a new way of thinking, a Jesus way of thinking, a Christian way of thinking. But let's think about those two stories. First of all, if you want, our story, a human tragedy where we, if you want, travel up but tumble down. In the book that we're going to give you, Glenn Scrivener writes this. We are the flotsam of a cosmic explosion, biological survival machines, wet robots clinging to an insignificant rock, hurtling through a meaningless universe towards eternal extinction. But still, the new flavoured latte from Starbucks is really incredible. And have you tried hot yoga? And we're renovating the kitchen, so you know, that's nice. As the annihilating tsunami of time bears down on us, we obsess over our sandcastles, the promotion, the holiday, the new gadget. And we dare not look up. I mean, see, that is the reality, isn't it? Life that we experience and see around us is often a tragedy in terms of this definition. And the dismal tale of this tragedy is sold to us in almost every magazine and paperback that we read, on every sort of advertising blog that you see. There are the 1,000 books that you must read before you die. There are the 10 must-see destinations for your bucket list. The shape of the story is up and then down. And the advertisers are trying their level best to sell you the uppiest up that money can buy, because the down really is a downer. The photographs we see are all very glossy. The social media pictures of all the celebrities are undeniably attractive, but they mask an unutterable tragedy. Life, according to the wisdom of our age, is about enjoying our brief moment in the sun. We clamber upwards, we grab for ourselves all the achievements, the experiences and the pleasures that we can, and then soon we're over the hill and the grave awaits. It's up and then down, the frowny face, the tragedy. Now, I guess we can evidence that in our culture, can't we? You can see the extraordinary obsession we have with being youthful. Our story's ending is so bleak, if it's considered accurately, that we focus so hard on the beginning. On all the advertising hoardings, what we see is 17-year-old models who look like 12-year-old girls, who tell us how to fight the seven signs of ageing. And actually then we keep the elderly out of the picture. As soon as you get grey hair like me, well, really you're not probably a proper feature in the world that you have. Social media feeds pretty much are the only place, aren't you, where you find the elderly starring. And normally then it's not in terms of the great wisdom and help that they can bring to life. It's normally when they act like young people. So you'll hear about the 70-year-old marathon runner or the 80-year-old break dancer or the 90-year-olds who are into speed dating. That's when old age is acceptable in a world that is a tragedy. Only if they can be represented as being on top of the smile, and only if they don't remind us that it's travelling down. Our world constantly distracts us, and we are constantly distracting ourselves from the end of our life story. We are certain that life is a tragedy, and so we focus on the beginning as much as we can. And all the while, we are, and in Bible's terms and in Jesus' terms, marching towards a miserable ever after. Jesus put it this way in Mark's Gospel as he addressed his disciples about life. He said, look, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world but to lose their soul? That's our story. A human tragedy, travelling up and yet tumbling down. But wonderfully, God doesn't leave us in our story as it is. The story of the Bible is a new story, a different story that provides an alternative to that tragic story, that human tragedy. Because God's story is a divine comedy. Not funny, but something that ends in real hope and a future. It does plumb the depths, but it ends in style. It is that shape like a smile. The extraordinary thing is that our plight, our human tragedy of a story, matters to God. And it matters so much to God that he enters our story in Jesus. That's what we read here in Philippians. Jesus, who, verse 6, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but himself made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, found in appearance a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The Bible tells us this story not of, if you want, a shape like that, but a shape like this, where God leaves heaven because he cares about the tragedy of our story and enters our world as one of the players on our stage. He becomes human in Jesus Christ. From the heavenly heights, God's Son has descended to the depths. And not just simply comes one of us to identify with us, to share our pain in the story, but goes one step further and becomes obedient even death on a cross. Because the death of Jesus doesn't show us just something about God, but something about ourselves. The death of Jesus shows us not simply that he identifies with us, but that he is saving us from danger. He's saving us from the consequence of our human tragedy. Why else would he take on the cross? Why else would he consider leaving behind all that was his and become one of us? And as we see what he endured on the cross, as we see what it cost him to go to the cross, as we hear his words on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? As we see that God-forsaken death, we understand that that must be the plight that we should expect and that we deserve, and yet it is the hell that he takes on the cross for us and in our place that we would otherwise face. You see, here God's story is the reverse of our story. As Jesus leaves all that he has and becomes one of us, and goes even further and dies on the cross and takes the place that we ought to occupy and dies the death that we deserve, so the possibility of forgiveness and a future begins to open up for us. And of course, his resurrection as he rises from the grave on the third day is the turning point. The cross-scarred victor returns from the fight and declares his love to us. And more, gives us a hope that we have not earned and a joy that we cannot repay. That's why Philippians ends here, doesn't it? That as he became obedient even to death on the cross, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. See, more glorious still, Philippians tells us that this same God who gave up everything to identify with us and go further so that we might be rescued and given hope is the God who is now in Jesus Christ, the one before whom every knee will bow. Now, we may not think we're the bowing type, but on that day, as Lucy reminded us in the children's talk as well, we won't be able to stop falling on our face in awe. We won't be able to do anything else, nor will the atheist next to you, the Buddhist next to them, the Muslim next to them. Every knee will bow before Jesus Christ as Lord. You see, here are the two stories. Here is the human tragedy, where we try and have a life that is as good as we can make it, but it's always slipping away from us. And it will end in tragedy. And here is God's story, the divine comedy, not funny, but actually serious. Seriously loving as God gives up what is his and becomes one of us, identifies and in Jesus Christ dies for us and is vindicated by his resurrection and identified as the one before whom every knee will bow. And so the question, and in a way it's the question of Christian faith. It's what Paul says here at the beginning of the passage. He says, look, your attitude should be the same of Christ Jesus. Christian faith is about a different attitude to the world in which we live. It's about saying the idea that this is my world in which I control my own destiny is wrong. Because ultimately, I may get to a certain height, but it will end in tragedy. But there is the possibility of now entering a different story. The story's been mapped up for me. It's the path that Jesus took of leaving behind and dying on a cross, but confidently having a hopeful future. That's what we're invited to do by Paul here. It is to enter a different story. Because what the Bible tells us is that the plot line of the whole of history is a divine comedy. It's not funny, but it's ultimately hopeful. The only question is, will we embrace the reality that Jesus has defined? He is Lord. His world will follow the divine comedy. That's the plot for the world in which we live, because he created it and he is the one who will bring it to an end. It's his play, his plotline. But will we enter his story? See, the Bible speaks that there will be a happily ever after. It's a happily ever after that's focused on Jesus Christ. But the question is whether we'll fall in line with that plotline or we'll try and follow our own human tragedy. Will we resist the comedy and persist in living in tragedy? Or will we humble ourselves and become part of Jesus' story? He says, back in Mark, where he told his disciples, yes, it is a fool who thinks to gain the whole world and then forfeit his soul, that if anyone will come after me, they must take up their cross and follow me. But they will gain eternity. That's the question for us, isn't it? To be a Christian is simply to recognise the two different plot lines the world offers. to see that the one that Jesus speaks of is the one that brings hope and a future. Not because I deserve it, not because I've earned it, but because he loved me so much to leave the glory of his Father in heaven, to descend and become obedient unto death, a death that wins for me a forgiveness I do not deserve, and rise that there might be hope and a future. Which story will be your story? There are Christians here who have seen Jesus' story and sought to be part of that story. But there may be some here who know that they're still living the human tragedy and are perhaps resisting the divine comedy that Jesus offers. Well, maybe today is a day to say, look, I want to change stories. I want to become part of Jesus' story. To begin today to say to him, you are my Lord, because one day I will say that anyway. And today to know the hope and future that he alone can bring. We're going to watch a video in a moment. We're going to offer you a book at the end. Please, everyone, do take a copy. It's a copy of Glenn Scrivener's book, Divine Comedy, Human Tragedy. We'd love you to take a copy away. Read it yourself, give it to a friend. It expands on what I've been talking about today. But I want to finish by just leaving you with this video, and then we'll pray together.